League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Words in papers, words in books, words on TV, words for books, words of comfort, words of peace, words to make the fighting cease, words to tell you what to do, words are working hard for you, eat your words but don't go hungry, words have always nearly hung me.
Good morning everyone, it is Friday, August 18th, 2017. And in about 36 hours or so, the Green Bay Packers will be on the field in Washington taking on the Redskins. And we saw, well, we didn't see anything yesterday. It was their, well, what was it, an equivalent of a Friday schedule that they did?
Yeah, they don't allow us to watch the massages and chiropractors and whatever else it is they do on Fridays. On a Friday-type practice.
So, yeah, there's no actual practice on Friday. It's all kinds of rehab and just sort of getting these guys loose and, yeah, recovery. And then they'll actually practice later today, yeah, before flying to Washington. I've never really understood the idea of the Saturday practice, or in this case, the Friday practice.
Well, McCarthy... Most teams in the NFL practice on Friday and use Saturday as a rest day. McCarthy changed this 2 years ago after looking at some studies, some Olympic athletes and things like that. Performance people thought that it was more important the day before to work out your muscles a little bit. And to have a recovery period in between the practices. I don't think it's not a real physical practice or anything.
Right.
I think they're just in shorts and, I'm sure they're just in shorts and jerseys. They don't wear pads because you can only wear pads once a week. So it's just kind of, a thing to go over all the things they're going to work on.
And the guys that need to go over a lot of stuff are these young quarterbacks, you know, heading into this game. Obviously, there was a chance for all of them to get a lot of reps against the Eagles with Brett Hundley starting and then Joe Callahan followed by Taysom Hill midway through the fourth quarter. What do you expect this week in terms of those three guys plus maybe Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think Rodgers is going to play. That's my gut feeling on it. I don't know why they play games and not tell us who's going to play. But I just got the sense through practice that it's going to be Hundley. And if it is Rodgers, it's for one series.
Right.
I think they'll use him more in the third game. And I'm kind of on the side of not using him. A lot of people think he's going to start out slow because he's not playing in the preseason. But I think that's a bunch of hooey. I don't think that's really accurate.
I feel like for a player that has been around as long as he has, and for somebody that has sort of, you know, the natural ability that he has, after a quarter or two, I don't think there's much rust left to shake off,
yeah.
Let alone 3-4 games.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're Carson Wentz, you want him, I mean, if you're his coach, you want to play him because he needs the experience
right. With
his unit. Aaron Rodgers doesn't need the experience with his guys. He's practicing with them every day. Maybe the speed of the game is something he needs to see, but, you know, he can get that in one game, and that's what they're going to do.
Do you think it'll be detrimental at all for Jarry Evans not to play with Rodgers if he doesn't play at all?
No. I don't think so. I think blocking assignments are blocking assignments. If he were the center, then I might say he could use some help there. But I think it's more important for Jarry Evans and the other guys to work with the running backs.
Absolutely. And I get the sense that they'll be a little bit more involved this week, the running game. You know, I just don't think they can go with giving those guys 2-3 carries each and try and figure this out.
Okay, what was up with that? You know, were they just working on passing in the first game? I don't know.
The only thing I could think of is they wanted to test them as much as they could in pass pro to get kind of like a base level and then see what they could do going forward. But I don't know. It was weird for me. And I remember earlier this week I was talking to Jamal Williams, and he said basically, well, I hope we get the ball a little bit more because they didn't get to do much of anything.
You know, maybe McCarthy just wanted to look at the quarterbacks, and that was his game for looking at them. And now he'll run it more balanced. But I don't know. You got to – in some – one of these games, you got to run those rookies and find out about them. And Montgomery, for that matter. I don't know if he's going to play this week with his soft tissue injury.
Do you think he has fumbling problems?
Yes, I do.
I really do.
Absolutely.
As well. I don't think that this guy has ball security at this point.
No, I think that's a huge problem for him. I think that's going to be an ongoing thing with him, is whether he can hold on to the ball. And that remark about soft tissue was not a knock on that he doesn't have an injury. It's that he won't tell us what injury it is. It's a soft tissue injury. That's all he'll tell us on an injury that's not that serious. Come on. You can tell us what it is.
Yeah, especially since it's one of those day-to-day type deals where he could probably practice if he had to.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, we strayed off topic a little bit. I know we decided yesterday that we were going to talk a little bit about the linebackers, but we've since ditched that plan.
Yeah,
and we're going to talk about quarterbacks instead. So if Rodgers doesn't play, Hundley gets the start.
Yes.
What do we need to see out of him?
I still think he could use a couple of impressive drives. I think I would like to see if he comes up and is able to change some plays, is able to read some blitzes, do all the things that are necessary. I don't know that he has to throw for a ton of yards, but I'd also like to see him complete some stuff down the middle, just some nice, long, deep passes down the middle.
One of the things that I sort of wondered about with him, and I haven't gone back and looked at any of the exhibition games from when he played as a rookie, but in my head, and again, I could be wrong, and you can correct me if I am, but I feel like he used his legs a lot more, not necessarily to go down the field, but to get outside the pocket, to do some stuff, and it just seemed like he was very reined in against the Eagles, where he was going to stay in that pocket almost no matter what, unless it was a bootleg.
Could have been that the protection was pretty decent. It seemed like it was.
True.
It seemed like the protection was pretty good. I've noticed in camp that when he does roll out, he doesn't complete many passes.
No, he doesn't.
I see a lot of times he just throws it away.
He'll get all the way to the sideline and then just chuck it out of bounds.
Yeah, and, you know, now not everybody can do what Rodgers can do, which is throw against the grain, you know, go to the left and then throw all the way over to the right. But, I think he's got to show he can use his legs. And I think we saw that a little bit with Taysom Hill, who is really good athlete and can get out of the pocket. But I might move ahead of myself.
In terms of Hundley, we talked earlier, I think, on maybe the first podcast that you joined me for, about whether or not the Packers should be confident in him as a backup quarterback if Rodgers were to get hurt. And I think we both agreed that there's not a lot to go off of yet that says they should be totally confident in him. What do you think some of the things – I mean, we both agreed that they're probably going to rely on him no matter what, that they're not going to bring in somebody else late as a veteran.
No.
That he's going to be the guy. So what does he need to show to be able to win games?
That's a good question. I think you want to see him put together some long drives, just some really well-executed drives where he's moving the ball. They're, you know, a no-huddle drive maybe where, boom, he's hitting the passes, right? You know, whether they're short, whether they're long, but they keep moving the chains. And it looks like how it should look, especially with that number one offensive line. You'd like to see him do that right away. I think if you see that, then you see one or two of those, then the confidence of the coaches will rise that he can do that for an entire game.
Do you think it's hard to be a backup quarterback for a team where Rodgers is the starter? Because so much of what the Packers do well once the regular season starts is predicated on things that Rodgers does that other people can't do. So that when the other guys have to go in there and try and put together some semblance of an offense, it's automatically going to look different than what Rodgers does to a certain degree, right?
Well, it's going to be – it's they have to know, and this is a big – thing with McCarthy is that they have to know everything that Rodgers knows about the offense. So they're tested on it just like Rodgers is. You know, they are tested on how much of the offense, what would they do in this situation, that situation. And I think the offense looks different with Rodgers than with the other guys because of what Rodgers can do on the field.
Right, exactly.
All those scrambles, all those getting out of the pocket, nobody else can really do that.
Right.
So you can't compare that. I think what you would compare is, can Brett Hundley see that the free safety is not in the position where he should be and he's going to come down and blitz?
Gotcha.
You know, can he move the running back over to his right? You'll see Rodgers do that to pick up a blitz because he knows where it's coming from. I think that those are the differences you'll see. And oftentimes I think they're running the same plays and those guys know the plays, but Rodgers turns everything into a freelance very often and you just can't replicate that.
Earlier in camp, Mike McCarthy sort of disputed or refuted, whichever word you want to use, the fact that the organization thinks about Brett Hundley as a trade piece. He basically said that they've never had any talks about that, and it's not something that he directly, McCarthy, has been involved in. But I think logic dictates that if he were to play really well, he could be valuable and could be used as a trade chip. So do you think that – this is probably a hard question to answer for me or for you, but do you think that that weighs at all on the mind of Hundley, that he has to play even better than he would if he was – a year ago, and he's definitely, like, in other words, this is his last chance because he's going to have to get traded before next camp if he's going to get traded.
Right.
And so do you think that he views this as a more pressurized situation than he would have last year?
Well, I think he views it as last year was a total loss.
Yeah.
His season is the exhibition season, and he didn't get it because he got hurt. And I think probably in his mind is he's wants to see his game advance so that he is a third-year quarterback and not just he's got that experience where he can take command of the huddle and play the game. So I doubt he thinks about being traded, and I would be absolutely shocked if they traded him because I think this is a Super Bowl or bust year for them. I think they're, you know, as stacked as they've been in a long time. And if Rodgers misses a couple games, you can't bank on Joe Callahan or Taysom Hill to win games for you. I think you got to go with the guy you've trained for 3 years. And even if someone gives you a pretty good offer, it's this year is too important to risk it.
What about after the season?
After the season, then they have to take a look and field offers. And that's why they always have a third quarterback they're grooming. So if it's Callahan or it's Taysom Hill, they'll consider those guys for backups and then see what the situation is. The other thing we have to consider is that I don't believe anybody is just clamoring to get Brett Hundley right
now.
I don't know where that idea or notion comes from.
I think it has to do with the carryover still from his very first preseason, because if he had played like that again, then of course, you know, it's a legitimate thing. But I get people asking me all the time, you know, what do you think you could reasonably get for Brett Hundley? And at this point, he was drafted in the fifth round. I don't see why anybody would give more than a sixth or a seventh for him.
Yeah, you might get a fifth back.
Right.
Just because he's a quarterback.
But you're certainly not getting a second or a third the way some of these people are suggesting.
No, not in a million years, because he'd have to go in. I'm assuming he would go in as a starter. The Packers wouldn't if they're going to deal him, it'd probably be to a team that really needs a quarterback.
Right.
And I don't see them just giving him up for nothing.
So Joe Callahan now, let's talk about him a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's played the most of any of these quarterbacks, really, you know, dating back to last year. And to be honest, I've been pretty impressed with him in camp so far. I think that the thing I always say about him, and I think one of the coaches said it, I think it might have been Alex Van Pelt last year, that he actually looks more comfortable throwing with his feet moving than mm-hmm. when he does standing still in the pocket. Mm-hmm. And so any time that he can roll left or roll right or just escape somebody, I just think he looks so good throwing on the run, which is sort of the opposite of what we said about Hundley a few minutes ago.
Yeah, he does make plays with his legs. He does get out and scramble. I just have some concerns about him being able to just gun the ball down the middle, finding openings in zones where you really need to use your arm strength. It's not that he has a bad arm. He doesn't have a weak arm, but you know, he's got to deliver it higher than anybody else because of his height, and it doesn't look pretty when he throws it. I've seen him throw some ducks that were ridiculously bad. And so I don't know. I'm still not certain. I do want to see some more. I thought he actually played okay against the Eagles.
Oh, I did too.
It was pretty solid. You know, he lost that one on a sack, right?
Right,
fumbled. You can't do that. But it's an interesting race between him and Hill. It's really all about upside, which guy has the higher upside. And we're not even certain that they're keeping three. This is a roster where there's a lot of talent. And keeping three quarterbacks means you're cutting somebody who could help you on special teams or an extra wide receiver. We talked about that yesterday.
Yep. So one of the questions I get all the time is there any competition at all between Hundley and Callahan, or is it all Callahan and Hill?
I think it's Callahan and Hill.
Yeah, I don't think anyone passes Hundley at this point.
I don't think so. I would be really surprised. I think it's Callahan and Hill. And if it's me, I would go with Hill.
Me too.
I just think there's a huge upside with him. He's got a really nice arm. I mean, he's built like a running back, and he can run. He seems pretty smart. Now, the downside is that he ran mostly zone read stuff in high school and in college. His final year, he played under Ty Detmer at BYU, and so he learned some pro style, but it's a big adjustment for him. He's got to get rid of a lot of things, and that's a 2-3 year project to get him ready.
And Alex Van Pelt talked about, too, some of his arm angles are not where they want him to be. It's not that he can't throw it the way they want, but he tends to drop down into areas that they're not wrong, but it's just not exactly what they're looking for. And as you know, even with guys like Hundley, as from my time here, that takes a long time to redo your throwing motion. Not easy.
It took Rodgers. They had to redo Rodgers' throwing motion. He had, he kept the ball up on the shelf, they like to call it, and McCarthy had to change that. And so there's a lot of work to do with that guy, but holy cow, is he a good athlete? And I was really impressed with his series against the Eagles. He really moved the team.
It's crazy to me because I wrote a little bit about him, I think, like a week and a half ago leading up to that Philadelphia game, and I was looking at some of his numbers in college. His sophomore year, he ran for 1,300 yards.
I know.
Which is, I looked at it, I wanted to see if it was more than any of the running backs they drafted. It wasn't. Aaron Jones had, I think, like 1,800 at UTEP. But, you know, the fact that this guy can move as well as he can, that he's the fastest, what did he run?
Yeah, he ran in 4.4s, right?
Yeah, so essentially he's as fast as Trevor Davis in that range. They had him low 4.4s, I believe. And it's amazing because you saw just on that one scramble where he took off in the first game, he covered ground so quickly that guys that thought they were going to block for him, he was by them by the time he had to fall down.
And he smartly slid, too. Do you recall what he ran for his senior year?
His senior year? So his career is weird. Let me flip back through my notebook.
Because I was talking to him about that today, and I asked him, so were most of your yards through read option, or were they through scrambling? And he said his first 2 years was almost all read option and read, zone option and quarterback draws. And he said everything last year, his senior year, was scrambles. So that's why I'm curious. I don't recall what he ran for senior year. You're looking it up?
Yeah, I've got it right here now. So his rushing yards by season, 336, 1344, 460, 72 when he suffered the season-ending injury that gave him the fifth year, and then 603.
603, that's a lot of yards for scrambling.
4.4 a carry.
That's pretty good. How many times is that?
137.
Wow. Holy cow, that means he took off running a lot.
Yeah.
How many passes did he attempt?
222.
So a third of the time he bolted out of the pocket.
I'm sorry, 372.
Oh, okay. A fourth of the time he bolted out of the pocket, and one out of every four passes he took off running. That's kind of interesting.
What do you think about the idea that injured guys get injured? And this is a guy who could not stay. He had one healthy season his entire college
career.
That's
true. That's a good point.
You know, I'm looking
at
the.
Good point.
I'm looking at the.
I forgot about that.
He had he had a Lisfranc injury. Mm-hmm. He had a torn triceps. He had, I think, a broken foot. So
right.
This is a guy that only finished one season.
Now he was running the zone read stuff during that, so he's getting hit quite a bit. That's a little different. He was almost like a running back through those years. And so you can kind of understand why he got injured, but that is definitely something to keep in mind. Callahan's never been injured, as far as I can tell. I mean, he threw for 50,000 yards or whatever it was and never missed a game 4 years. So there is a durability issue there.
Over the last decade or so, or I guess since Mike McCarthy got here, have they tended to go with really good athletes in that fourth quarterback spot? I know they have just in the last 2 years. Like, remember last year they had Marquise Williams from North Carolina that had like 1,500 rushing yards in his 3 or 4 years there. Is that something they try and do?
They definitely look for guys who have movement ability. That's changed. I think that's something that of late, they want guys who can get out of the pocket. The more Aaron Rodgers has had success getting out of the pocket, the more they kind of tailor the offense that way and like those types of quarterbacks. So I think that, they do like that more than they have. I think they also want a strong arm. I think they see how valuable a strong arm is. And you see that with Hill. You see that with Hundley has a pretty strong arm. You saw that Marquise Williams had a strong arm. Not very accurate, but he had a strong arm. So.
The thing that impresses me about Hill is that I think that sometimes when he throws over the middle, whether it's a slant or a crossing pattern, something within, you know, 10, 12 yards, maybe 10 to 20 yards, I think he throws it as hard as anybody. I mean, he can zing it. I mean, Rodgers is a different level, obviously, but Hill can really zip the ball.
He can throw it on a line. I also thought he threw a really nice pass to. Did he throw the one to Yancey at the end?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a nice throw. You know, it's hard to say about accuracy. That'll be the thing to watch. Yeah, I want to see him play some more. That's really the bottom line. I want to see what he can do. Give him a whole quarter.
Do you think he'll get more than half a quarter?
I would think he would get the fourth quarter. I would think Hundley would get the first half, Callahan the third quarter, and then Hill should get the fourth quarter.
So in terms of making the team, where do you think this all hinges, or how does it shake out?
If it's me, if I were cutting the team, I would rather have extra wide receiver than a third quarterback.
I agree.
Callahan, I think, if he gets cut, I think we'll get picked up. I really do. I know other teams had the chance to do it last year when he got cut from Cleveland.
And New Orleans,
right. So I just think that he's probably got enough experience now that someone will take a chance. And then Hill, to me, you put on the practice squad and you develop him.
What if Hill plays really well and his athleticism just kind of takes off?
I can't see anyone picking him up. I really can't. He's so raw, and you better have – you'd have to have a third spot on your roster. Now, maybe a team that isn't that good would keep a third quarterback just for that. But if you're a contending team, I don't know if I would do that just because, you know, you want to be have some flexibility in your roster.
So how often do the Packers tend to keep a quarterback on the practice squad? Because I know that they did at times last year with Callahan, but then in my first season they didn't because they had Rodgers, Tolzien, and Hundley all on the active roster. Mm-hmm. Is it typical? Like, how often does that happen?
You got to have a third quarterback. You have to have a third quarterback, and that's if he's not on the roster, he's on the practice squad.
Right. I just meant how often does it happen where the third guy ends up being on the practice squad versus keeping three guys on the roster?
It's pretty common. My memory's terrible, so I'd have to go back and look at the rosters. But they've gone with two quarterbacks before, definitely. And it's I see no issue in that whatsoever.
So it sounds like Rodgers is probably going to play against Denver next week. How much do you think he plays?
Well, for one, we'll have to see how well the offensive line is blocking, because if Von Miller hits him one time, McCarthy will pull him out immediately. I do remember him. I can't remember what year it was, but he got hit pretty hard in a preseason game, and it actually was – I remember him saying, you know, he wasn't thrilled about getting hit, but it got him ready for the regular season. It was like, okay, now I've had the hit, and I don't have to worry about it. So I think it'd be a great test for the offense to play against Denver. I think that's a really that could be a really valuable quarter or half or whatever he plays in that game. You just don't want him to continually get hit.
I can't remember if it was you or Bob, but at one point last year, one of you asked Alex Van Pelt during camp if Rodgers needs to get hit more, if they need Rodgers to get bumped around a little bit just so he can, you know, get ready and get used to everything that comes along with playing the position. But, you know, I think he'll be out there. My guess is he plays no more than a quarter. And then, obviously, he's not going to play at all.
What did he play last year? A quarter, was
I think
it?
He played a quarter.
Just a quarter.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it all depends on how many possessions they have. And if they're on a roll, then he might come out. But if they struggle a little bit, McCarthy might want to keep him in there and work through some things.
How about Nelson? He's the only other one that didn't play.
You know, I don't think I would play him at all.
I don't either.
I really wouldn't. You know, let the timing be a little bit off, but you just can't afford to lose him.
And he had a touchdown against Jacksonville in week one anyway, so it's not like he didn't give you anything off the bat.
Exactly. It did take him a while to get going.
Right.
But that was because he was coming off an ACL injury. I think he'll be ready right from the start. What I've seen in practice, when he's up against, you know, when he went up against King, and I've seen him against other guys, he's still the best route runner they have, and he's getting open.
Agreed.
So I would not play him at all.
Anything else on the quarterbacks?
I would just say we'll get an idea. I think this game will give us more of an idea of where these two guys stand. It might show us, and I kind of think it might, is that Callahan's way ahead in terms of running the offense and understanding the game. But he'll, let's look and see how his skills and arm lead him, because that's really something you can't buy very often, a skill like that.
And then the one thing I'd like to bring up before we finish up here is it's a question and also it's just some numbers, but generally speaking, I'm curious how much stock you put into training camp interceptions. And I went through and counted them up yesterday. Hundley has 5 if you count the Eagles game, because he had 4 in practice and 1 there, mm-hmm. and nobody else has more than 2.
I think it's a factor. You know, I mean, there was one year I remember where Favre threw like 17 interceptions in training camp. It was ridiculous. But that's you know, that's an anomaly. You take that one out. No, I think it's legitimate. That was a bad throw he had in the Eagles game.
Right.
I don't know why he threw that pass. And that means something. It really does. So he's got to stop doing that.
We'll have to see how he does this weekend. He's probably going to get at least – well, he's probably going to get the whole first half, like we said, because Rodgers won't be out there. And I'm sure the Packers will be looking for him to have a better performance than he did last week against Philadelphia.
Yeah, and Washington's secondary isn't very good, so there should be some opportunities for him to do something out there.
I know this is about the quarterbacks, but just since we do have a game coming up next, is there anything else you're real interested in seeing? Any guys that you want to take a look at week one to week two here?
Really just the running backs. I want to see Jamal Williams. I want to see a lot of him. I think he's separated himself. Hill was talking today about how good of a pass blocker that Jamal Williams was at BYU, and that anytime he had Jamal Williams pick somebody up, he never worried about it. And so I want to see him run. He runs physical. He's a big guy. Let's get a really good look at him.
No, I agree. And, you know, I think that if ball security becomes a legitimate issue for Montgomery, he's going to get a lot of chances this season.
Yeah, and health, too. He gets nicked up a lot. You know, he is tightly wound guy. So I said it, I'll continue to say it, that by midseason, I think one of those rookies will be the starting running back or will be getting the majority of the carries.
And that situation, at least in my opinion, I think Montgomery goes back to being kind of this hybrid guy that they move around and can use in essentially what they do with Cobb, but a guy that's more durable.
Yeah, could be.
So we'll have to wait and see. We'll be back again with a podcast Monday morning. And by that point, we'll have had the game, and we'll probably have talked to the players again on Sunday, right? There should be locker room Sunday?
Not sure. I don't think there will be.
No? Just McCarthy?
Yeah, if we get that.
Okay.
You know, day after a game, they usually give them a day off. So I would be surprised if we had access on Sunday.
All right, so we'll recap the game in Monday's podcast. We hope all of you guys have a nice weekend.
And be sure you join Michael on the blog, on the live blog. I won't be there, but I'll be there in spirit. I may actually throw a question out there with an anonymous name. So definitely tune into that. It is so much fun, and it really will warm you up for the regular season.
Sounds good. Hopefully you guys join me on Saturday, and we'll talk to you soon.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.